If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We hear this refrain very frequently during Holy Lent. And why might that be? Perhaps because the Lord is always calling to us, but we aren't always willing to follow him. Thankfully, this marvelous season of Lent helps us to clearly see and then address the things in our hearts that hold us back from welcoming him joyfully and completely into our lives. Today's gospel passage provides such a wonderful example of Jesus going out of his way to encounter a sinner and then patiently working with her to soften up her heart. We find him in Samaria, of all places, which is strange because this is enemy territory for Jews. They didn't get along very well with Samaritans, and most Jews would go all the way around Samaria when they were going back and forth to Jerusalem. But Jesus goes right through Samaria. But not only is he in Samaria, but we find him alone at a well. And a well, if we look throughout the Old Testament, is a place for matchmaking. It's where a lot of the patriarchs met their wives. Moses met his wife at a well, Jacob, so on and so forth. And to make it all the more interesting, Jesus engages in discussion with a local woman, and she's alone too. Now, that would be bad enough if she was a Jew, but she's a Samaritan. And she has come to draw water at noon in the heat of the day by herself, which is not ideal. And it suggests that she might have been a bit of an outcast. Normally, the women would have come early in the morning or in the evening when it was cooler, and they come together as a group, but she's alone. The woman is shocked that Jesus even interacts with her at all, much less asking for a drink. Because as we heard in that gospel text, they wouldn't utilize the same utensils, Jews and Samaritans. And we can see here that her heart is initially hardened at the voice of our Lord. But little does she know that he thirsts for her soul much more than anything. He's not looking for romance here. He's looking for something much deeper. And he wants her to thirst for him and the living water that only he can provide. So there is some matchmaking going on here, but much different than in the traditional sense. Yet the woman doesn't understand what he means by living water and continues to resist. How will you get this living water out of the deep cistern without a bucket? She asks. Are you greater than Jacob? But Jesus persists, impatiently guiding her to the truth. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Such beautiful stuff from our Lord and Savior. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Much more than a quick drink to satiate our physical thirst. Now the woman's heart is starting to move. She's starting to open up, as she definitely wants what he is offering. Although at this point, for the wrong reasons, she thinks that it'll satiate her physical thirst forever. She won't have to keep coming back to the well alone in the heat of the day. Of course, the Lord senses this opening, so he takes another step forward by teasing out her sins and giving her a glimpse of who he truly is. She recognizes him as a Jewish prophet, which is true. It's not complete, but it's true. And then he responds by insisting that worshiping God is not limited to a physical location or to a particular people, whether it be Jews or Samaritans or Romans or Greeks or Philippians or whoever. Yes, he says salvation is from the Jews, but God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. That's not limited to this church or that church or to Jerusalem or to Rome or wherever, Constantinople. Must worship him in spirit and truth. He continues, the Father seeks such people to worship him, and not only among the Jews. Obviously, he's communicating this to a Samaritan. This is amazing news, perhaps overwhelming news, which leads the woman to start thinking about the Messiah, who will come and tell us everything, she says. Jesus then responds with these stunning words, "I am He, the one speaking with you." This is the great I Am. If we think of Moses in the burning bush, when God reveals His name as I Am, that's the same phrase that Jesus is using here. I am He, the one speaking with you. So this is a wow moment. This lady would have really been blown away. And now she's totally sold on Jesus and runs back into town to spread the good news, even leaving her water jug behind. So that symbolizes she's leaving her life behind, her old life behind, walking in the glory of our Lord now. And in no time, many of the townspeople believe. It's amazing. All these Samaritans suddenly believe in this Jewish prophet. Well, now they see him as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Those of you that are watching along with The Chosen, you'll remember it's a very beautiful scene, and it's very powerful when he reveals himself as I Am. Very, very well done. This is a good example of what you hear me talking about frequently. Conversion necessarily leads to evangelization. Jesus patiently leads her to conversion. Once she gets it, boom, she's off to the races, literally, and spreading the good news. Christ is seeking to encounter each and every one of us, too, and draws deeper and deeper into loving relationship with Him. So let us not harden our hearts and grumble when things get difficult, like the Israelites in today's first reading. Instead, let us joyfully embrace our Lord and place our hope in Him, like St. Paul in the second reading, trusting that He will provide for us in all circumstances. Those of us who are baptized have been washed in Christ's living waters, and these same waters are there to nourish and strengthen us every single day of our lives. So now, as St. Paul exclaims, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. That's another marvelous statement. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we boast in hope of the glory of God. Let us strive for this peace. This is the peace beyond all understanding, through deeper relationship with Christ. This is that conversion that He's always seeking to bring us to, that draws us deeper in relationship with Him, draws us closer to the cross, which bears the ultimate fruit. So yes, let us strive for this peace through deeper relationship with Him, and thereby strengthen our hope for God's glory as He welcomes us deeper into this glory, even now. And this happens most profoundly in the celebration of the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, which draws us together, all the body of Christ, with the Holy Trinity. Very, very beautiful. Hope does not disappoint, Paul continues, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. This is truly marvelous. This God of ours, brothers and sisters, He loves us. He's on our side every step of the way. So we can trust in Him. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't scorn us. He doesn't scold us when we fall. He only wants to redeem us, but all of us, every single aspect of us. And this happens, of course, most profoundly and regularly in the bread and butter of Catholic life, which is regular confession and celebration of the Eucharist on Sundays and holy days. So, friends, let us then allow Christ to come and encounter us and to patiently help us to open our hearts to Him. He's willing to go way out of His way for you, no matter how far you've strayed. He'll go into enemy territory for you, just like He does with the woman at the well, and then to work with you at a pace that you can handle. He's not going to drag you along. He's going to work with you according to what you're able to handle at that time. So be not afraid to welcome Him, even into the darkest, scariest places in your heart. He only wants to bring light and healing. He only wants to bring freedom, peace, and joy. And now in conclusion, let us return to today's opening prayer, that wonderful, wonderful prayer that brings all of these elements together so powerfully and beautifully. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy.